The Medallion, Chapter 47. Corvin pounded on the anteroom door. "Kate, open the door. It's me, Corvin." There was only silence. He leaned in close to the outline of the star and shouted, "Kate, I'm here. Open the door." The star shape vanished and a face took shape within the shadows of a hood. Pale eyes opened wide and a mottled blue tongue ran over a crescent of glistening black teeth that clicked together like the edges of a metal trap.
"I've been waiting for you, Corvin."
Spittle oozed from cracks in the uneven rows and the tongue flicked out to lick it back. Corvin stepped back from the door and the light from his room shone through the star on a deeply wrinkled face splotched with twisted blue veins.
"I don't know you,"
Corvin blurted out. The door melted away to expose a figure in a cloak standing just inside the chamber.
"You don't know me?"
The voice rose as the shoulders lifted to frame the darkened face. The thin lips curved in a crooked smile.
"Yet I know you, and I know your family exceptionally well."
The words sent a chill down Corvin's back.
"What do you want from me?"
The pale eyes blinked.
"Ah, yes, that is the question that will be answered. But first I believe it is you who want something from me."
The smile fell away and the eyes narrowed.
"Or is it someone you want from me?"
Corvin's irritation pushed past his fear. "I'm looking for a friend of mine, if that's what you mean." A white hood slipped further down over the eyes, and a bony hand with fingers too skeletal to belong to a living person pushed it back, revealing a balding head unevenly covered with swatches of white corn silk hair.
"A friend, you say? Someone you care for a great deal?"
Corvin squinted at the wrinkled face. The old man was just toying with him. "Her name is Kate, and I believe she's in the chamber." The hands came up and the long fingers intertwined until the cracked blue nails touched his chin.
"Now why would you think that?"
His fingers unwound and he spread his hands apart.
"You can only enter this chamber if you have this."
He held up a medallion on a chain. The green glow ebbed through the symbols in its center like embers fanned by a passing breeze.
"That's Kate's medallion. What have you done with her?" "What have I done with her?"
White flecks of saliva speckled the barrier between them.
"The real question, my boy, is what have you done to her? Your Kate is trapped here because she cares about someone like you."
A long finger pointed at Corvin's chest.
"Someone who does not deserve her love."
Corvin glanced at his body, relieved to find that he had a simple tunic wrapped around him and that his body no longer looked like a rakash, except his hands. His own long fingers were capped with pale blue nails. He clenched his fists and looked up to find the old man smiling cruelly at him.
"Yes, my boy, the desire for Lumium power runs deep in your veins, and it will cost you everything, including those you hold most dear."
The man stepped to one side with a sweeping gesture. The light from Corvin's anteroom fell on the form of Kate lying on a table. The light seemed to penetrate right through her to the stone below.
"Do not worry," the old man said. "She's not dead. Not yet."
He stepped back in front of Corvin to block his view.
"But her spirit is trapped here unless I choose to let her rejoin her body."
He smiled again and a glob of drool slipped from his mouth before the blue tongue could catch it.
"Unfortunately, if her body dies, she will be entombed to wait in great sorrow as her soul slowly withers away."
The old man cocked his head on a scrawny neck.
"That would be so sad. Such a pretty young girl pining for the one she loves, the one who could have saved her but was too selfish and left her to die, just as he left her when he ran to save Tirith."
Corvin threw himself against the invisible barrier and it flexed inward. "Let her go!" The black-rimmed eyes stared back without blinking.
"Oh, yes, I will let her go."
The thin lips pursed and the eyes narrow.
"I will let her leave this chamber. I truly will. But only when the two things your family stole from me are returned."
"I don't know what you're talking." A bony hand plunged through the barrier and yanked Corvin's medallion from beneath his tunic.
"Don't lie to me, boy."
He pulled the metal disc back through the shimmering shield. Sparks shot out, and Corvin felt like his heart was being dragged from his chest. The old man squeezed Corvin's medallion, and shards of pain shot through Corvin as his face was pulled hard against the barrier. A twisted thumb traced over the surface of the medallion. Drops of blood oozed from where the points had pierced the parchment-like skin.
"I could take this from you even now, and you would die where you stand."
Lifting his own glowing medallion up, he held it next to Corvin's.
"But if I took your medallion from you, then you also would be trapped."
He touched the tips of the two medallions together, and the chain around Corvin's neck grew ice cold.
"And that would not help anyone, would it?"
Tilting his hand, he let Corvin's medallion slide from his grasp. It sank slowly through the barrier, then swung back to thump dully against Corvin's chest. The metal burned with an intense cold that pierced his threadbare garment. Corvin backed away to the far wall of the anteroom. The old man chuckled and, with his eyes fixed on Corvin, stepped through the door. The light overhead went out and the darkness closed in. Shuffling steps came closer, along with a thick odor like rotting potatoes.
"Thanks to Kate, I finally have my medallion back. And as we speak, the hammer is on its way to me, courtesy of our lovely Princess Tirith. All I lack now is the scepter. Bring me the scepter, and I will allow Kate to return to you."
His sour breath slapped into Corvin's face. Resisting the urge to gag, he forced out a question. "How do I know I can trust you?" The overpowering odor came even closer.
"You don't. But you have no other choice if you wish to return to your world, where the two of you can live together until you die at the mercy of your terrible orb."
"What about my father?"
"Your father will be punished, along with those who have defied me. But you can save the girl."
The old man moved aside. Kate's body glowed as if tiny fireflies were chasing each other around inside her. Her head turned toward him, and their eyes met. She tried to say something, but the words were trapped inside.
"Ah, look how she loves you. That is good for me. Love always accentuates pain."
He lifted his medallion and the green light sputtered between his bony fingers. Kate's hands grasped at her chest and her body arched against the table as the firefly lights grew dim.
"Stop it!" Corvin shouted. "You're hurting her!"
The black hand dropped lower and Kate sank back against the table.
"No, my boy. You are the one who is hurting her. If you want her pain to stop, then you must do as I say. Retrieve the scepter and bring it to me. Do not talk to anyone, and do not show it to anyone."
In the green light of the medallion, the cold eyes bored into Corvin from the shadows of his cowl.
"Bring the scepter to me, and I will release her. But if not..."
He raised his hand, and Kate writhed on the table behind him. "I will bring the scepter if you will let Kate go." The black teeth glistened as the man grinned. He gave his medallion a hard shake, and Corvin felt the one around his own neck grow heavy and cold.
"Do not try to deceive me. We are now linked together through the medallions. If I so desire, I can call you back to this chamber from anywhere in the core."
The blue-shot eyes scrunched into narrow slits.
"And know this, if you remove your medallion, or do not come when I call, she will suffer greatly until you arrive."
He whirled around and flicked a hand over his shoulder.
"Now be gone."
The door to the anteroom closed. The light went out and the room swirled around him. Powerful arms grabbed him. He fought them off, but the hands gripped even tighter.
"Open your eyes, Corvin. You're back with us now."
Corvin forced his eyes open and Morgan's worried face appeared. Madame Torrig was behind him with her back against the wall of the tomb. A torch, gripped in Atiyah's hand, flickered across the room. Morgan released him, and Corvin stood a moment before his legs gave out and he collapsed to the ground, shaking, his teeth chattering. Madame Torrig knelt behind him and kept him from falling back to the floor.
"What happened in the chamber? What did you see?"
Corvin's thoughts went to Kate, but the evil face with the blackened teeth pushed to the front of his mind, and all that came out was one word: "Him." Madame Torrig hugged him.
"You are safe now. He cannot harm you."
Corvin felt the weight of the medallion hanging on his chest. It was now linked to the old man. There was no safety here, not anywhere in the core. What could they say here that would not be overheard by the old man back in the chamber? He lifted the medallion, and the biting cold yanked his whole being toward the chamber.
"I'm glad to see you've kept my medallion safe," Madame Torrig said. "Now I must take it to Tirith."
Her hand touched the disc and her body stiffened as she cried out in pain, dropping Corvin to the floor. Morgan and Atiyah rushed to help her up as Corvin pushed himself back to lean against the wall. Madame Torrig stared at Corvin, then motioned for the other two to follow her. Together, the three of them disappeared into the passage leading out to the cave below the crypt, and the door slid shut. Corvin sat in the darkness. Why had they left when he needed their help to get Kate's body out of the crypt before Jorid returned? A whisper of voices came from the far corner of the room. The three were talking below him in the secret entry. Crawling over, he detected a minute breeze and put an ear to the air holes. Then what do you suggest we do with him? Morgan spoke in clipped tones. Hold him prisoner? Send him to the palace? Kill him? What? Madame Torrig's voice was strained. All I know for certain is what I felt through the medallion. Corvin is now directly connected to that evil old man and must do his bidding. Then Corvin must have made a deal to free Kate, Morgan said. You can't blame him for that. I would have done the same. Perhaps, Madame Torrig said, but as long as we are around his medallion, everything we do and say will be known to him. We must remember that this boy has been consuming our Lumion seeds. We cannot trust Corvin. If he has made an agreement for the life of Kate, Morgan said, then he is the only one who can fulfill it. Meanwhile, we have another task. We must rescue Tirith from the rebel leader. No one knows what that fool will do when he is desperate. Atiyah spoke. What do we do with Corvin? Nothing, Madame Torrig said. We must leave him here to do what he must do. If he fails, he fails alone. Do we tell him we're leaving? Atiyah asked. Corvin listened hard, but the only answer was a puff of air from the holes, followed by a prolonged silence. They had already abandoned him. Corvin rolled on his back, groaning aloud as the crushing weight of the situation hit home. Everything was going wrong in spite of his best intentions. They could never trust someone who had eaten their light, and now there was no one left to help him rescue Kate. Struggling to his feet, he looked down into Kate's face. He had to do something to keep her from being taken by Jord up to the cave of the Burax. Or did he? If he followed them, he could carry Kate's body on from just inside the portal door back to their home on the surface. He could leave her resting in Sark's dwelling while he brought the scepter back to the old man and set her spirit free. A beam of light shot across the room from the secret passage, and Corvin ducked down behind Kate's body. The narrow door opened all the way, but no one moved into the tomb. Corvin stepped out into the open. A shadow appeared at the edge of the door, and the torchlight from the passage below lit up the smiling face of Gavin. The boy rushed across the room and threw his arms around Corvin's waist, dragging Corvin to his knees and hugging him. Tears of sorrow and solitude trapped inside Corvin flowed freely at the pure joy of the boy's greeting. Finally, Gavin let him go and stepped back, a huge smile on his face. Corvin shook his head in amazement. "I've been looking everywhere for you. Are you all right?" The boy nodded, then dug into his pocket and held up the white side of the mirror glass and pointed to Corvin's hand, nodding eagerly. Corvin fumbled through his own pockets until he found the blue side. Gavin closed his hand around the white stone and motioned for Corvin to do the same. He did, and then Gavin reached out and clasped Corvin's free hand. It felt like his infectious big smile flowed right through the connection and up into Corvin's face. Before he could stop himself, he felt the corners of his mouth lift and the darkness in his mind replaced by words not spoken, but keenly felt. And the thought rang clear in childlike tones, "I am fine, my brother, but I sure missed you." Corvin was forming a response in his mind when Gavin's urgent thoughts came through. "Someone is coming." Gavin yanked Corvin to his feet and dragged him into the secret passage as a key turned in the front door of the tomb.